Bobby, you want to try some Mexican candies?
Sure. Welcome to the DL Gaming Podcast. I'm Bobby.
I'm Nick.
And I'm having fireball-infused coffee. It's pretty good. I'm happy with my choice today.
Yeah. You really, I can't do alcohol and tea because I don't drink coffee, but I can't do alcohol and tea. I can't do warm alcohol in general.
It's weird. I don't do it usually, but I was falling asleep earlier, and I needed to get a buzz on, so this was the perfect choice.
What's that Mexican tea that has like a bunch of fruit and shit, and it's like red, and people drink it with tequila inside of it?
Sangria.
Do you like that?
It's too sweet for me.
I tried it once, and I threw up. I was like 23, and I was like, dude, this is terrible.
I think you had some bad sangria, dude. Yeah, anyways, we got a new patron, Will Ditchwiker. Thank you very much. He joined the $5 tier. That's going to get him a green name. It's going to get him general clout with the community. You know, walking around town with that green name, dude, it's good shit.
Yep.
That's what you want. You want that green name. You're stunting everybody with it.
Yeah, for sure. Flexing hard. And calmly, too. You ain't got to say that everybody knows. Boom. There you are. Green name. Money man.
Part of the club.
You are.
And our most recent episode of Movies on the DL, released just today on Sunday. It was on Blade Runner 2049. Definitely check that out. God, where do we have a link for that? I'll link it in the description. But that's our movie podcast. If you want to hear us talk about movies instead of video games.
We had a little get together last night for the fights, and I grabbed everybody's iPhone that I could and just rated and reviewed us. Like three of them last night. So boom, boom, boom. I'm stacking, dude. Just steal people's iPhones within 10 seconds. You can, 35 seconds. You can find us, rate us, review us.
I know we don't talk about movies that much, but I love Blade Runner 2049. Dude, Dave Bautista had like the funniest quote about that movie, and it's like, it's hard to get parts in a movie when you're the size of a gorilla.
Yeah, for sure.
That's what I'm saying. He plays a great role.
I told Bobby on Movies in the DL, it's like he's supposed to look, you know, they're hunting these people that look like regular people. He doesn't look like a regular people. You know what I mean? He looks extraordinary. I'd be like, that dude's a robot, dude. Like, take him down. Sniper shot from 300 yards.
Well, you guys can talk about that in the other podcast. I just want to make that comment.
All right. Let's talk about video games. Let's talk about games that have come to our attention recently. First one we're going to start off with is War Hospital. This is a strategy game where you're managing a field tent hospital for World War I. It's got the look of a grand strategy game, but it seems to be specifically dealing with just the hospital aspect of it, which I think is kind of cool because you're dealing with the aftermath. Most games have you out there killing and shooting people. This one has you bandaging them all up. If you look at it, the screenshots, the videos that they have of it, it looks very much like any grand strategy game you would normally see. But I like the direction they're going with this. This is not coming out till the fourth quarter of 2022. It is way off. Ooh. And there's not a whole lot of details on this game yet, but it's a very interesting idea and could be good. I wonder how, because it's not they don't call it a simulation game. And that's what I think of, like theme hospital.
Right.
But how would you do a grand strategy game where you're just managing basically what is a hospital, a field tent, a medic tent?
Well, I imagine
that is kind of weird.
Yeah. I wonder how they're going to pull it off. I imagine, you know, you're going to get more and more casualties coming in, and you're going to have to grow to accommodate that. That's probably where most of the rub's going to come. I wonder if you have to set up the triage too, like what importance level, what wounds get and stuff like that. Maybe you learn as you play.
Yeah, maybe.
These dudes keep dying no matter what we do. Let's just put them in
Let's go to the west side.
Put them in that black tent over there.
Mm. Yeah. Well, interesting concept.
Yeah, for sure.
More to come on that later, I'm sure.
Christian actually put up Hidden Deep on the radar. I think this is really interesting game. So it's a side scroller, four player co-op. You can play it by yourself as well, though, but you're stuck with the four players, and it seems like you're going spelunking, you know, deep mystery or whatever. But if you check out this trailer, you'll see that there's a real horror vibe that just like permeates throughout. Like, I was like hooked right away. I thought it's like watching a trailer for like Alien 1 or something like that, where nobody knew what happened. You're all investigating, and a bunch of accidents happen on the way. So this is really interesting. I would love to play this with some people.
It says coming out in 2021.
Yep.
It's a side-scroller game, but you say it's four players, so everybody has their own screen, and you're trying to solve a mystery together?
Up to four players. I think it's shared screen. Because the characters are really small. Maybe it splits once you move away from each other. Hmm. But, yeah, it looks really interesting. Okay. Check out the trailer, guys. It's worth taking a look.
Interesting.
All right. I wanted to also mention that Humankind, that big 4X civilization type game, it got delayed until August 17th. That's unfortunate. So I played the beta of this when they had the closed beta, and I was really impressed, not just with the game, but just with the way that they handled the beta and the feedback on it. It's too bad that it's getting pushed back, but hey, it takes time to make good games. So hopefully it'll be ready to go by this time. But yeah, the official release date is August 17th, 2021.
Did you get the sense of it's a $60 game, Bobby? Oh, it's right there.
Yeah, this absolutely feels like a Civilization game, yeah. Like Civ 6 or Civ 5. Right. They've just got some different ways of going about certain mechanics. And the whole conceit of this game is that you can take the evolution, you can alter history, basically. You can have the people evolve in different ways than what originally happened. So you're kind of rewriting history as the game goes on, which is an interesting concept.
Yeah, for sure.
That seems pretty cool. I definitely got a group of friends that are like super down with Civ. And when we play it, we're like, all right, everybody tell their old ladies, hey, we're going to be gone for like 7 hours on a Saturday. So, you know,
yeah, and
we have to plan out weeks in advance.
Like this. It requires so much time, which is good if you have it.
Yeah, for sure.
And so a quick question for you, Bobby. Do you play Civ with like friends or at all or anything?
It's been a long time since I've played Civ at all.
Okay. So just another, like, as far as like Civ goes, when me and my friends play, it's like super taboo that we ever attack each other, and it's kind of boring. Mm-hmm. But I played up like a public like Civ game, and oh my god, people are ruthless, man. They like murder each other left and right. Yeah. It is so crazy.
Well, I don't think a lot of people were used to, for me, I'm speaking from my own experience, but I think this is the same with a lot of people. So I went into Civ, and 5 was the first one that I ever played a lot of, and I go into all these other 4X games or RTS games, not even turn-based, and I know that you're supposed to go out and kill everybody, right? Yeah. You expand, explore, and then just murder everybody. But Civ gives you the choice to win the game in many different ways, and they don't really push you towards just conquering through war. So I think a lot of people may not know that when they play Civ, and it's not even like, it's kind of weird for a game not to push you in that direction.
Yeah. You know?
So I had a friend who's like, you know, he always wants to win via science. Mm-hmm. And for the longest time, there's a map setting where you can see what tiles give you bonuses, right? And he had no idea it existed. And he's been playing Civ for like, I don't know, 9 years. And he had no idea that setting existed. And one time we were playing and he's like, dude, how do you have quadruple the science I have? He's like, I've been just doing nothing but science. I was like, dude, I just build around mountains. He's like, what the fuck are you talking about? And I was like, yeah, you don't know about the little button. And he clicks it. He's like, oh my God. He's like, how the fuck is this even possible? Wow. And yeah, there's so many little nuances and stuff. Like if you look online that you can just find so many advantages to.
Hey, Nick, the first time I beat Skyrim, the first time I beat it, I didn't know that you could run. I know.
Oh, that, dude.
I know that you like backslash is run. So I walked through the whole entire game, man. The
it's an odd game. Key to have run on.
Yeah.
I can imagine you. I think that's one thing in like the enhanced version they switched to like shift.
Yeah, I hope so, man. I hope so.
Fucking backslash? Where is that? Oh my God, that's terrible. Oh man. But no, like I could, dude, thinking about that, like I can imagine you trying to go through like the dungeons and getting hit by every trap.
Yeah. Yeah, dude. It's not good. It wasn't good. But I did it. You know, you don't know what you're missing until you know that it's out there. So
should have got an achievement for that.
And I was still like, this is the greatest game of all time.
You can't fucking run, but it's a great game.
Yeah.
All right. It Takes Two. Who put that one down?
I did. So this is a game that I already bought, just haven't played because I'm waiting for the next date night for me and my wife. It's a co-op game that features a bunch of different aspects of how you play the game. Like there's puzzles, there's like platforming, there's like on rail stuff. And it is apparent, like the tagline of the game is, we're not going to save your marriage, but we'll save some time or something like that.
Yeah.
And it's apparently, it, you know, a lot of people are talking about it because it's specifically a co-op game. Like you're supposed to play with somebody that you care about or somebody that you
yeah. It's by that guy who's made a few of these games, A Way Out and Brothers. I can't remember
the subtitle. All of his games are like that. Yeah, they're all co-op games.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he makes games that are specifically meant to be played co-op. And this game just had a glowing review from PC Gamer recently, too, that I was reading. So kind of, I knew about this game. I knew the concept of it. And, you know, based on the track record of the auteur behind this, I was like, okay, you know, it could be good, may not be great. But I wasn't too excited about it. But then after reading that review, and then on Steam here, it says overwhelmingly positive. I'm actually interested in checking this one out now.
And what's good about this is it works a lot like A Way Out, Bobby, where only one person has to buy it, and then the other person can get the friend version.
Yeah, the friend friend copy that is enabled whenever you have.
That's great.
Whenever you have, yeah.
Yeah, so this dude, man, I'm glad he's out there doing this, because like, co-op from the ground up is and can't be played solo. Like, I'm a huge fan of it.
Yeah, I love co-op. And he's got, what's his name, Joseph Ferris? I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that right.
Yeah.
He's got a big background in film. That's what he started out with. And then he moved over to video games and really likes that medium a lot more, apparently. And I don't know why people didn't like A Way Out. I thought it was fine. We played it together.
I thought it was better than fine, I thought.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty good.
Didn't it win a bunch of awards? Like, it's a great game.
Yeah. Who'd you play it with, Nick?
I didn't play it. That was one of those situations that I had like an Emilio moment for like God of War. Like I watched the whole game. So.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah.
It's an amazing game, like as far as writing and stuff. So.
Yeah. Yeah. I really liked what they did with the co-op. And then also at the very end,
the ending was great.
Yeah. I guess it's a bit of a spoiler, but, you've been playing the game together the entire time, and then you're pitted against each other, and that determines which way the story goes, which I thought was cool. But it's a drama. It's a period piece as well. I think it takes place in the 70s or something.
Yeah, 70s, 80s?
Early 80s.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's very dramatic and serious, and I wonder if that kind of worked against it, because that's always harder to do, I think, with video games.
Yeah.
This new one, It Takes Two, this is way more on the side of, like, comical, Pixar, just fun.
Kind of looks like Ratchet and Clank, like as far as the art style or something like that.
Yeah,
that's what you're looking
at. One thing that I noticed as far as like some of the gameplay too, like there is some Ratchet and Clank stuff, there's some Crash Bandicoot stuff, like there's all different kinds of, like, I guess you can say younger generation games or like older generation games, where there's like platforming, there's like third person shooting, there's like on the rails, like jumping around and avoiding stuff on while you're on the rail, and it's pretty cool.
Bobby, I'm probably going to pick this up to play with Sam, even though we fucking, I mean, the chances of both of us going to the garage with at the same time with all the kids in the house is slim, but I'll also have it so we can play it.
Yeah, that would be cool. What do you think the difficulty of this game is?
Hopefully it's adjustable, but maybe not. I don't know. I would say it depends on how much you can cooperate. That's probably what it really comes down to.
Yeah, I bought it for PS5, so crucify me now, I guess.
PS5.
Two old man groans. That's the response.
So answer me this. I was talking to someone at work about the PS5. His son was living with him. His son had a PS4. Son moved out. Now he's like, I got to play my Call of Duty now. What am I going to do? So he's asking me, should I get a PS4 or PS5? First of all, wrong person to ask. You know, I'm a PC gamer. But the PS5, is there any exclusive titles to that? Or will the next Call of Duty?
There's only like 9 right now.
Okay.
But the thing is, all the PS4 games run better on it.
Okay. So it's just like a faster, like a boosted PS4, basically.
Yeah, like you can play. So they have an awesome feature when you get it where it's like just it's transfer memory, right? And you choose what you want to transfer. And as long as you have them both connected to your network, it takes maybe about an hour because my PS4 is full. It took me maybe about an hour to upload everything. And I was able to play The Binding of Isaac where I left off because that was the main thing that I worried about. Mm-hmm. You know, you buy a $600 gaming machine and all you care about is a $12 game.
It's usually the case.
And it literally, like, right where we left off, we continued on for Binding of Isaac. So as far as PS4 games that are played on the PS5, they're all upscaled. They all run at 60 FPS minimum.
And the load times are way better too, right?
Yeah, the load times are ridiculously better. Apparently.
Really, the reason to get a PS5 is just for increased performance.
Yeah, I mean, then you also have all the exclusives that are coming out for it, like God of War 2.
I mean, from now on, yeah. And all the games looking going forward is going to be PS5. Mm-hmm.
Well, I know they had that whole thing with Cyberpunk where they pulled it from the PlayStation 4 for the PS4s, but you can still get it on a PS5, right?
I don't know.
No, it's actually completely pulled from the PlayStation Store. You can't get it at all. Hmm. And that's one thing that, like, people are still murmuring about. They're like, are they going to wait till they have the first DLC? To bring it back on the PS4 and PS5. And so I think when the first DLC drops and they really fix everything, because they're already talking about 1.2 saying it's a fix all, but you know, a lot of people are skeptical about that. It's one of those games where I bought it on PC and I'm at a point where I'm 4 hours in, and I'm at a game breaking bug and I try it like once a week to see if I can fix it and I still can't.
I wonder about Cyberpunk, because this was the game we were all looking forward to for so long. It came out, had kind of a mixed response, and now nobody ever talks about it. This is the first time we've even brought it up in forever. Can we bring up Steam charts and just see how many people are playing Cyberpunk right now on Steam? I'd be curious to see what that number is.
Some data miners looked it up, and it's like I think they're planning 4 DLCs for the game.
Wow. Okay, so right now there are about 12,000 people playing Cyberpunk. That's not bad.
Yeah, it's not bad.
That's not bad, especially for a single player game.
Yeah,
that's not bad at all. Yeah.
This is a game that you play through. This is not like one that you can play continuously.
Hey, Nick. So Repentance, Binding of Isaac, comes out in 3 days. Is that going to be available on PlayStation right away?
No. So like I said last week. I'm punching the air.
That's right.
What I'm thinking about doing is there's a mod, and I know I'm probably gonna catch flack for this, but there's a mod that you can get for PlayStation, for a PC, where you can choose what's unlocked and everything.
Oh.
And I can literally
fault you, dude. I wouldn't fault you for that because you've already you've earned it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. But you just choose what badges you have for each character and what, you know, and then it gives you all the items and what challenges you've completed and it gives you all the items.
I've got a question for you. How far along are you in the Binding of Isaac? So obviously you've done things like beat Hush and beat.
I have complete, what is it called? Sticky notes for, I think, 6 of the characters.
Okay.
And then most of the other characters, I either had to defeat Mega Satan or Super Greed.
Okay, but you haven't, like, have you done Hush and
and
then what characters do you have unlocked?
Every single one.
Really? I don't have the bone guy.
The bone guy is broken, by the way, so anything that makes your tears bigger makes his swing range bigger, and he already has like double the damage of Isaac.
His bone gets
and
bigger?
So
that's awesome.
Yeah, it, like, but there are things that kind of lose their oomph. Like, I think it, Brimstone sucks with him, but gotcha. He's good in general. Nice. The thing is, he's a co-op like phenom.
So, oh, really?
Yeah, because he's like considered one of the first co-op characters because the baby that follows you around is supposed to defend you while you're in statue mode because. As the bone character, you're either walking around as a bone character or you go into statue mode where he turns into a little statue and you can turn into a little ghost and grab stuff like behind walls. But he's, I don't know, he has a really high like strength, like cap. Like he can be extremely broken.
Huh. That's good because the other ones are really hard, dude. The loss is really hard. Anyway, we're talking to about 10 people right now. So let's keep moving.
Right. What else do we have on the show notes?
Well, the last one I wanted to bring up is called The Last Faith. This is a Metroidvania type game that's going to be coming out. It's got old school graphics like that 18, 16-bit graphics. And it's always so cool to see that graphical style with fluid movements. I never get over that. I always love that look.
Like the 60 FPS, high refresh rates. Yeah, it looks great.
Not just that, but they draw more frames per movement.
Yeah, the animation is just like brilliant. And there's really not too much to this game other than it's just a exploration Metroidvania type game that looks like it's that Castlevania time period.
Yeah, absolutely. Real gothic, dark.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Cool look to it.
Yeah.
Hopefully the gameplay and everything else is good. And they have a Kickstarter, right?
I think apparently they got 210,000 quid. So
good. That's almost like seven American dollars. I don't know.
that's like 280,000 American dollars.
What is a quid compared to a pound? What?
That's the same thing, right?
Oh, it's the same thing. It's just a slang term.
Okay. Yeah. I'll trade you 8 quid for 1 pound.
Damn, I'm good.
What? Oh.
I called it 280,000.
Nice, dude. Forewarned. It doesn't say that VR is... I don't think it's exclusive to VR, but it is a four-player co-op horror game, and it supports VR, both Oculus and Vive, and you're going through like ancient Egypt tombs, tomb hunting, stuff like that. I just think it's cool.
I like the ancient Egypt setting.
Yeah,
but this kind of feels like they're trying to catch some of that. What was the game?
Phasmophobia.
Yeah.
Phasmophobia.
They're trying to cash in a little bit on Phasmophobia.
Well, it has 10,000 times better graphics than
Phasmophobia. Does it?
Yeah, dude, that game.
Phasmophobia is actually like they're going like full back into production mode. Like they've announced that they're coming out with a new map, like new ghost types. They're making more ghost types, more different, I guess you can say. But I can't wait till Phasmophobia. Or like, I love horror games, and I'm getting a VR headset when I get back from California.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't wait to play like Alex. I can't wait to play horror games or Phasmophobia because apparently they're just completely different.
These graphics do not look any better than Phasmophobia,
dude,
though.
Dude, definitely.
Bro, Phasmophobia looks like it was made by a 4-year-old.
Yeah, it's bad, dude. Phasmophobia is bad.
I don't know. Okay, maybe they're better, but these do not look that great.
I was more shitting on Phasmophobia than I was giving credit to this game. Hmm. Yeah.
These graphics look exact.
they look the same to me, man. I don't know.
Bobby's either like, they're shit or they're art, okay?
But no, I mean, I have no problem. I mean, me of all people, I have no problem with bad graphics in games. I'm still playing all those boomer shooters, but... I don't know if like you should be saying like the graphics are that much better because they really in the screenshots and stuff there's barely a noticeable difference.
At least there's, I don't know, I was really let down by Phasmophobia's graphics, and I looked at the video and it looked better to me. What was I going to say? Oh, hey Nick, you were talking about buying VR, and I doubt this is going to be applicable to that, but. I've been buying shit on this app called Wish. Do you guys know about this?
Yeah, dude.
So I just learned about this, dude. So things are like either free or like 90% off, and it's a bunch of junk. But generally, it's a bunch of junk. It's from what I understand, apparently the Chinese do some shady business, guys. I don't know if you've heard this, but apparently the way it started was the factories that actually make the stuff for bigger companies was just directly sending it. Instead of sending it to the company that sells it to you, they're just sending it right from the factory. And so they're bypassing the middleman, and they're bypassing like all kinds of fucking things they shouldn't be bypassing. So
this is all shit, dude.
No, I know.
This is all garbage.
So I know a couple of people that have bought shit from like Wish, right?
Yeah.
And like people buy clothes and they're like, these are made for Chinese people. Like,
oh yeah, they're super
small. They're like a small in America, but they're like a double XL in China.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
It's crazy.
But that's not to be said that you can't find shit that's really good. So I lost my earbuds live, not the earbuds themselves, but I lost the case. They're $140. I was so pissed because then they went on sale for $50. Right after they went on sale, I lost them. So I was looking around. So we'll see what I get. But you can look at reviews, and you could, you know, each seller and each product has their own reviews. This one that I picked actually ships from the United States, but I got earbuds live for $37 plus $11 shipping. So we'll see what ends up getting here. And then one I bought as a gag, kind of. There's a tool bag, right? Canvas tool bag that was 50 cents. I was like, I need to see what shows up. I'm going to order it just to see what shows up. And then Sam bought some pill box. So we'll see. Her pill box was $5. I'm like, I just want to say that your fucking pill box is 10 times what I paid for my tool bag.
Jeez, what do you call it? People, the one thing that people do swear by for Wish are like small electronics, like as far as like Arduinos and stuff like that, like small like robotic parts and stuff.
And component pieces, but, yeah.
Yeah, as far as like clothing and actual items go, like at one point Wish had to get like a stand down from a bunch of different countries because they were saying they were selling body armor that was like level 4 body armor, which is rated to stop AK-47 rounds. And people were buying it and making YouTube videos and like, bro, this won't stop a 22. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah, I bet.
But it,
so you gotta be really careful. You gotta be really careful. But I think you can capitalize on this.
Oh yeah.
Like when you sign up.
I don't know, dude. This just seems like,
I'll see you in a few days.
Maybe, right? But it's just, but I feel like everybody is always looking for an excuse to spend money. Like they're going on websites and like, where are the deals at? Where can I give my money away?
Like, no, for sure. I mean, there's a lot of, we're in a consumerism, you know, this is how capitalism works, man. Just buy. But like, I really needed the earbuds. I use them literally all day, every day. Mm-hmm. So I refused to pay top dollar for it because I already have a pair and I know
needed the case, right?
I need the case. Yeah.
Okay.
So I looked for
the case is what charges them, isn't it?
Yeah. And I looked for cases. They're like $45 refurbished. So, and I don't know if I put my earbuds in the case, if they're going to sync up. I don't know. So whatever.
Yeah, we'll see.
We'll see what shows up.
All right. Let's talk about some games that we have been playing. I'm really excited. This week, I went back to an older game.
No.
Well, I mean, not like a super old game, but Payday 2. So this game came out, what, 2014-ish? Somewhere around there. I played the first Payday, really liked it, thought it was a great concept. Right around that time, Payday 2 came out, shortly after. So I picked that up, and I put so many hours into this right away. So it's a co-op game, which I always love, and it's a heist game. Various heists, you're trying to break into jewelry stores, banks, you're stealing art from art exhibits, like just all sorts of maps that you play. And it's like the last bit of heat, I guess, if you've seen that movie. Or what was the one with
Italian Job?
No, Keanu Reeves. They all wear the masks of the presidents.
Point Blank.
Point Break. Yeah, Point Break. So you play these criminals who wear these goofy clown masks. We used to have one hanging up in here, by the way. And you pull off these heists, and you can start out stealth, but if the cops get alerted, they start swarming you, and you have to shoot them off. Some maps, you have the stealth option from start to finish. Other maps, very few of them, I think, force you to actually go loud at a certain point. But here's the thing. Like, when I had played this game before, I had never really played it with people I knew on comms, just trying to be very organized. So we always just ended up pulling out the guns and shooting up the cops and, you know, being real messy about it. But this time around, we made an effort to just do it stealth. And if we messed up, restart the map, we'll try again, fix what we did wrong. And it was a lot of fun, man. This game is still great. It's got some glaring issues still. They're supposed to be coming out with a third one, and it got postponed, I think, a few years. I think what killed it for me when I originally was playing it is they just put in way too much DLC, and they kept remaking the games, like switching up the talent trees and rebalancing things, and plus people were just starting to hack it at that point. So you'd get people that would come into your game and just ruin the fun for everybody, basically. But each map, there's like a lot of stuff. This is actually a really difficult game, especially if you're going to play it stealth like we were trying to do. And it's a lot of fun to figure that stuff out, man. I was surprised that this game holds up so well. On Fridays when I play, you know, I'm usually playing with people in the community, and we're always looking for co-op. We've been playing so much Deep Rock Galactic that I figured we got to come up with something new. So we decided to check out Payday 2 again, and it was a hit, man. I love this game. This is still a great game. It's a little old, 2013, but it still holds up. You can get it for dirt cheap, too. I mean, on Steam, it's probably overpriced, but, you know, this has been part of so many bundles. There's a lot of DLC, though, yeah, but you don't need any of it. What's that?
$10? Not crazy.
$10? No, that's not bad, but there's a lot of sites where you could probably find this game for a dollar or something. They've given it away for free at different times. Like, it's been on sale quite a bit.
Cool. I remember when we used to play together, I think you'd get frustrated with me because I'm so sick of like sneaking around all the time. I would just shoot somebody in the head because I would just like, I don't want to wait here anymore.
Well, it's not a typical stealth game when you're in casing mode, is what they call it, before you put on your mask and pull out the guns. So if you do that and you try to play the whole mission stealth, you do pull out your guns and put on your mask at some point, but your objective is to keep all the people subdued and threatened so they don't call the cops.
That's cool.
Yeah, you can do that various ways. You can yell at them, and if you have certain perk points, then you have more threat. If you have a bigger gun, they are more inclined to listen to you. So, you know, I'll use the pistol with the silencer, but then I've got like a really big gun that's very intimidating and has a lot of threat for when I really, you know, need to do some crowd control.
Did you have all your XP still from the old
days? Oh, yeah. Still level 90. So it was all there.
Good shit.
Yeah, and there's just some great maps on this. We played about three of them, and stealth all three of them. So I was playing with one other person, and then we were figuring it out, kind of. And then somebody else joined, and they knew everything. So it wasn't too difficult at that point. So we went through about three maps, but I plan to play more of this because there's so many good ones there, and they have different sections. So you play through one part and it continues into like a 5-part series.
Did you get, what was I going to say? Oh, do you get extra kudos for finishing in stealth?
Yeah, you get like a XP boost, I believe, for doing that. But really it's just another way to play the game, and it's so much fun. And this is such a cool idea. I don't think it's been done before in a video game. A heist? Well, there was Monaco, right? But that's graphically completely different. And that was a great little game, too. But just visually, I felt like it was difficult to understand that game sometimes because they went for such a pixelated and specific visual mode. Yeah. It looked beautiful, but it was just, it was
it's hard to tell what
things are. Yeah, there's legibility issues with that game. It was really unfortunate. But yeah, this is just an outstanding concept.
Nick, you ever play this?
Oh man, have I ever played this? I got so many hours in this game in the sense of like me and my friends. I'm always the guy that's like, let's bring light machine guns and heavy armor and just blow up everything.
Yeah,
me too. But eventually we got to the point where we could farm the game. Like we wouldn't even have to look up like guides. Like all of us would show up with saws and then rip open all the ATMs and then, you know, pick up all the objectives and everything and just leave instantaneously. Or like subdue all the people, and just it got really easy to the point where it wasn't fun anymore. And then we ended up stopped playing the game as soon as like a lot of pay to win features started coming in.
Yeah, it is really unfortunate how many guns and attachments and I guess cosmetics too are behind DLC paywalls. It's really unfortunate. And you're right. Like when you play a lot of this game, it's like figuring out a puzzle. This is a puzzle game. So for instance, when we were playing the jewelry store, we figured out, okay, we have to enter through this back door. I'm going to shoot this guard with the silencer. He's the one watching all the cameras. So now we don't need to worry about any cameras. Then we sneak around to the other side of the building. We pick the lock there, going through there. We wait for the guard to patrol around or the bank manager. Like basically we were figuring out each step. And then once we had done it, then the case was closed. You know, there was really no point in doing it over again. There's really no fun because the figuring it out was the fun.
Right.
So yeah, once you get this game on farm, although I did notice they added, another difficulty level. So Death Wish was always the hardest, but they added a new one. And they send a lot more enemies at you, enemies that are more heavily armored, different types of special enemies. So, I haven't tried that difficulty without doing stealth. So I'm really wondering what that would be like. I'm kind of curious to try that out.
So one thing about the game that also became easy, and I think even the hardest difficulty has this problem where the NPCs will only spawn in certain areas and you can literally just like throw grenades or just shoot that area the whole time. And they'll never stop. Like they'll never come out and like being a threat, really. Mm-hmm. I think in Payday 3, they're addressing a bunch of that kind of stuff. Where like, I think like the quote unquote, like I think they're called stalkers or skulkers or whatever. Like they're the dudes that have the
Punisher skull
night vision. Yeah, they have like the night vision headset, even though it's daytime most of the time.
And
those guys,
the little ninja guys that pop out, they look like Splinter Cell.
Yeah, and they instantly knock you down if they touch you.
Mm-hmm.
For example, I think right now in most maps they only have like six spawn areas. So as soon as you hear like their music, you can just go to one of them and just blow them up. But in like the next game, they talked about like adding like for each special kind of cop, there would be like at least 12 spawn areas for them. So you couldn't just like camp where they're supposed to spawn and blow them up, and then that's it, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So there are 27,000 people playing this game right now. That's crazy. And this is a game I feel like everybody's played, but we've all moved on from.
Yeah.
Including me. It's so weird that I just happened to now go back and play it. But yeah, it's still great.
Glad you had a good time.
You need to fucking play squad with me, you asshole. We haven't played together. You're like, let's play a co-op game where we can all talk and have fun and work together. I'm like, squad is the best example of that.
Yeah,
Bobby.
Same with you, Amelia, you shithead.
I'm pretty sure I asked you to play squad, but you were busy with a child, so.
Stop being on the East Coast, Nick. Stop being on the East Coast.
I'm trying.
What have you been playing, Nick?
So, I said I would try these games, and I ended up trying them. I played End Zone, A World Apart. I played about an hour and 50 minutes, and I looked at myself in the mirror, and I looked at the game, and I was like, I don't think I should keep this game, even though it's only $15. It's a game. It's like a city builder. To be honest, it's A, not really intuitive. B, the game is just too, like, I'm pretty patient when it comes to, like, city builders. I'm pretty patient when it comes to a bunch of stuff. The game is too slow. Like, you can even pressing fast forward and getting things done, and there's like six times fast forward. It's too slow. And when it comes to these kind of games, I'm used to being able to like select a group of people and tell them what to do. in this game, you have to select people. Like in most of these games, like you left click, you highlight, and then you right click where they're supposed to go, or an action is supposed to do. You right click an item, say pick that up, move it over here. In this game, you have to like select your villager or whatever, and then select, okay, this guy is specifically a builder. So whenever you decide to do a build order, they'll go build it, right? And it becomes a huge hassle to manage like hundreds of people because you have to like individually click these people. And mind you, you know, they're supposed to be unique, but really in the point, like the grand scheme of things, there's only like six character variants. And like I said, it was just too slow. I can see why people like this game. I can see why it got so good of reviews. It's just not my kind of game.
Yeah.
It'd be different if it was like more of an RTS, like Age of Empires, for example, where like click your builder, click where the building's supposed to be, click more builders if you want to build it faster. This game was just like, it was a little slowish for me.
There's not a hotkey that just automatically selects all your builders?
No. So I looked for every shortcut in the book. It really gets, so the way it is like you assign roles to people. So like you assign a fisherman, right? And you tell them what dock to go fishing in. But when it comes to builders, it's just like you highlight your builders and you assign them to be a builder. And then you click, oh, I want to put this foundation here and like this building on top of it. And then you assign however many builders you have to that foundation. And you don't click any of the builders. You have to click the building and click like a little arrow that moves up how many builders are active on it. And of course, when you build it immediately, it's zero. In most like RTS games, when you put down like a building blueprint, your builders immediately go and build it.
Yeah.
But this one, you have to click the building. You know, oh, I want three builders to work on this. And it's just, it becomes too meticulous.
Yeah.
Mm, yeah. Hearing you explain it is putting me to sleep.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
sounds awful.
I thought it was cool because I'm like, oh, end of the world city builder. And I was like, like I said, I looked at it and I was like, do I want to play another 10 more minutes and waste $15? And it was a pass for me, unfortunately.
Yeah. I like the graphics.
Yeah, it looks nice.
It looks nice.
Oh, it's very pretty. Yeah.
End zone, world apart.
So, Nick, we both played the same game, Magic the Gathering Legends.
Yeah.
So, first of all, it's buggy as shit. But, you know
that's to say the least. And there's multiple kinds of bugs, which I'll hit on.
Yeah, well, it's in beta, so I'm going to try to look past the bugs. There's fucking dropped frames. There's pop-ins. There's missing, the hitboxes aren't working, all kinds of stuff like that. Did you
have that was else? My number one complaint was hitboxes not working. There were so many times where I casted like a super heavy spell, or I was souped up and I was casting my main ability, and like I was gonna hit like 10 fucking enemies and it just completely went through them and didn't do any damage.
Yeah. It didn't happen too much for me, but it did happen. And it does suck when it's your big mega spell, too. But I am going to try to focus on everything else. Like so first of all, it kind of smells like one of these free MMOs that pop up on Steam all the time. And you play it for 10 seconds and you're like, oh, they just want money out of me. So it you get that sense out of this game because it's free to play. It's card based, and you have to buy packs. Oh, you don't have to. I guess you can earn them in game currency.
But
this is like War Thunder, where it's like an eternal grind, where there's in game drops, and then there's things that you unlock. But most of like the high value or like the spells that you really want to use are hidden behind buying card packs, which is like one of the things that I really hope that they didn't put in the game. And the reason being is that like
grinding the game, or do you have to buy them?
No, you can grind, but it's like I said, it's like War Thunder, where like if you want the last tank in War Thunder, like you want an M1 A1 Abrams, I think it's something of like 220 hours of playtime. Just to get it. Meanwhile, you can pay like $7 Timmy dollars.
Yeah, and no, that's
get insulin.
That's equally as bad because, and a lot of companies do this, where they make a game where they say, well, you, this is like straight out of mobile gaming, right? You can grind, you can do this the hard way if you want, or you can just spend $5 and, you know, skip, basically save time. That's bullshit, man. I don't like that at all.
And it really sucks because I really like some of the ideas in this game. I talked about it last week, but now I have some experience with it.
What color did you play?
But Necro.
You play Necro? So I played twice. I played two colors like an idiot. So I have two Epic accounts, one with like a bunch of games that I own, and then another one just to like reserve a name, right? And I accidentally like logged into the one that had like no games and I didn't realize it. And so I was playing. I was like, you know what? I'm going to play as white just because it's like I'm guessing the most like quote unquote balanced class. And I was like, yeah, this is pretty fun. There's some issues and this and everything. And then I looked at my friends list and none of my friends are online. And I was like, oh, fuck. So I switched classes, or I switched my account, and I ended up playing as green.
Oh, okay. I haven't played this game, but I am morally opposed to it. I hate that concept, man.
Of the way they say it.
I totally understand.
Yeah. Well, I mean, think about it, dude. I'm paying you money to not play your game. Yeah. Like, I'm paying you to save me time in your game. Like, no, it should be the other way around. I should be paying you money so I get to play your game.
Yeah.
And funny enough, they just came out with Magic the Gathering Arena on phone too. So they're really trying to make a lot of money. I think, like I said, unless if they really took the time, and this is kind of like a Warhammer situation where Wizards is willing to hand out their IP to make money in the weirdest ways, like when they did those like puzzle games where it's like Bejeweled. And they made a bunch of money. You can slap the Magic the Gathering skin on a bunch of games that already exist and make money because people are going to pay to buy cards. But like, if they legitimately went to like a big name studio or developed their own big name studio to make like a Diablo like 3, if this game was $60, was as long as Diablo 3 and played like, and I'm not saying like plays exactly like it, but didn't have the aspect of having to buy packs just to get some of the most basic spells, then the game would be amazing. I would play it. I would be playing it right now. I probably wouldn't be on the podcast because I love the Magic the Gathering universe. I love the characters. I have posters on the left of me of Magic the Gathering characters. I have a Magic the Gathering tattoo. And like when it comes to this shit, it's just annoying as fuck.
Yeah, I think that's what they're banking on, is that this is such a strong IP with devoted followers that they will be willing to spend the money on it. But it's a scam, dude. This is just like...
Well, that said, I don't know how much time you need to spend to make enough to buy a pack. It's probably bad, but if it's not bad, if you only have to play like 2 hours to get a pack, I mean, I don't know. I haven't got to the point where I'm like, I need cards yet.
I can think of a better way to spend.
So apparently the first like 4 hours of the game, it just gives you cards, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the complexity or the money spending, like, how do I say this? Like, like the thing that entice you to spend money is multicoloring. And it's so suggested and so recommended to multicolor because there's a lot of things that certain classes have that certain classes don't. Now, every class has like a summon companion ability, a taunt ability, but like apparently in the later levels, it really pays off to multicolor, and to get those colored packs and everything like that, apparently it's easier to buy it than it is to just play and unlock them, you know?
Yeah. It's really a shame because I really liked the abilities and how they worked. I saw somebody playing green and they summoned a huge creature on their side. It looked fucking awesome. I was like, oh, that looks so cool. But, you know, the way that they went around monetizing this game, you know, not a fan of. Unfortunately, like, Torchlight was about to do this. They were going to put out Torchlight 3. And like this, at the last moment, they switched it and went to a premium model where they just charge $30 for the game. Unfortunately, too much of the stank of the old model was on the new game. It kind of ruined the new one.
Well, when you switch something like that through halfway through development, it's never really going to come out.
It's tough. Yeah. Late development, I want to say.
And, you know, the money thing does suck, but games do this without money as well. Sometimes games will just dangle these things in front of you and saying, like, just grind for, you know, so much longer and then you'll get this and then the game will be fun. And then once you get that, then they dangle something else in front of you and say, okay, grind for another. You really got to, I don't know. You can do that a little bit, I feel like, but you really got to ask yourself when you're playing a game, am I having fun right now, or am I just doing this in hopes of having fun in the future?
Yeah. And, you know, there are ways to do this. Path of Exile has been around for like 10 years, and they're a profitable company because they keep putting out content. So, and nobody complains about, well, I'm sure, I'm sure there is some level of grindiness that people could complain about, but it wouldn't be a successful game if it was so bad that people didn't want to A, pay money, or B, grind it out.
Well, and I like that they're doing this with the card system, because we haven't seen that before. A card system in a dungeon crawler.
That's the fucking shit part about this, dude. It, like, you know, I probably would have paid a good amount if the graphics were better, but the rest of it was, because I really like the card system. I think it's great. Yeah. I don't know.
And I think, so like for me, like as someone who has, what is it? Like amber colored glasses over a bunch of stuff or whatever the fuck it's called.
Ruby.
Yeah. It's like, I really wanted this to succeed. And I was like playing, I was like, fuck man. Like this is like to play. And this is the way I, like when I downloaded Magic the Gathering Arena, it's like when I played the cards, I've been playing Magic for so long, and you just want to hear the voice of the character, right? And so when you play Magic the Gathering Arena and you summon Karn, it plays his voice line. I'm like, oh, it's awesome, right? Now in this game, like, there's a bunch of cool planeswalkers and characters from the Magic universe. I'm like, oh, this is awesome. You get to see all their, like, voices and what they, like, act like and stuff. Nope. There's no real, like, aspiration for me to play the game when it's pay to win, really.
Yeah. I'll try it again on full release.
I'll definitely give it a shot on full release as well.
Yeah. So there we go.
I will. But, I just don't have the magenta colored glasses that you guys do, I guess.
It's rose. Okay. It's rose. I'm sorry. Fuck.
Sky blue.
All right. Something else I want to talk about. So there was talk of Microsoft buying Discord. Now, it's not like it's going to happen for sure. Apparently, a lot of companies are interested in buying Discord. And Discord has even talked about not selling and going public as well. So nobody knows what's going to happen. But honestly, when I heard this news, I thought, I think people always think like, oh, when a company or something gets bought up by another bigger company, it's going to change this or that. And honestly, you hardly ever notice much of a change. And if you do, it's usually for the better, kind of like when Amazon bought Twitch. But Microsoft does have its own chat program that's supposedly trying to compete with Zoom, I think. Microsoft Teams. I think it's got more features than that. But I wonder if they would just integrate that somehow with it. Probably not.
I'd just drop them. Or what happens to Skype? You keep Skype? I don't know.
Well, Skype, why do we still have Skype anyway,
man? That's what I'm saying.
I hate Skype.
Discord's better in every way to all of those things. I mean, if they cash out and they all become rich people, I would say go for it, man. Because you guys did a hell of a fucking job putting together something we've been using for years. And it's just, it works and it's awesome and shit. It's great.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have to tell everybody, we have to join our Discord. Yo, gaming.
It's funny enough, like, so during Rona, the thing that got me like Discord for life wasn't using it for years and years. It was during Rona, I couldn't go to work, right? And so I'm still part of a command, and I'm still part of like a division, which is like a smaller group of people, my like 20 or 30 people, and like they still have to make sure we're alive. They have to make sure that trainings are getting done and things like that, and people are getting talked to. And everybody was like, we're going to use Teams. We're going to use Skype. We're going to use this or that. Like we're going to use Zoom. And then like, they were like, oh, China, you know, China's collecting data on military members using Zoom. So that's not an option. I was like, fuck it, dude. I'm going to get a Discord server. I'm going to boost it. And then we're all just going to use that. And my chief was like, you saved the day. Like, you honestly saved the day. And I got a bunch of like acclamations and stuff just for creating a Discord server. And from that moment on, I'm like, Discord for life, man. Like, I'll never stop using it.
Yeah. I've used it for business. I've used it for the podcast. I use it for gaming. I've just recent where I'm planning a trip to Mexico, and one of the people couldn't use WhatsApp. And I was like, man, I wish like non-gamer people and stuff would just really like, usually you hear like, what's Discord? I should have just pushed it more because it would have just been easier on Discord, but here we are.
Well, Discord is trying to make themselves more of just a general platform for communication rather than just specifically gaming.
Yeah.
Have you guys ever used Slack?
It's been a long time.
Yeah, like Slack, as someone who used Slack in the professional world, Discord to me was like the gamer version of Slack, and now Discord is like overpassing Slack as far as like options and abilities and stuff. And I think we're going to start to see Discord even used like in a professional atmosphere more than we already do.
No way, dude, because no one wants their shitty gaming account tied to their work Slack. Like,
dude, well, no one has to tie that directly to the work Slack. Like I said, for the military, everybody in the Discord channel, they, you know, you have your own, you know, for example, mine's like EMP Loft, but in that channel, my name is CTI2 Borjan. And it's so much easier to see everybody's professional name if you just assign a nickname for that server. And so I just think that eventually we're going to see Discord surpass Slack in a professional atmosphere because it's so much better.
Has anyone ever heard of BlueJeans? Is it just my company that uses it? Yeah, out in the construction site, we use this thing called BlueJeans. And I think the appeal is, I don't know if Zoom has this, but you can scan a QR code and it puts you right in. You don't even have to download an app. You just go right to a website and you can join the whole thing. So just scan a QR code and then you're in. So it's really easy for like a bunch of dummies out in the field getting everybody in the same thing.
Easy really on quickly. A phone too, on mobile.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Nick, you want to plug your video?
Yeah, I don't want to talk about it too long. I made a new video. I just want people to really give me like feedback on it if you haven't already watched it. I'm trying a new format. I'm trying to do less talking in the video and more like, I guess, like thematic. So the position I play is called the HAT, Heavy Anti-Tank. And so in the video, I have the 1960s Batman theme going. And every time it says Batman, I fire a rocket or a rocket explodes and the vehicle explodes. And so it's pretty funny. I've gotten a lot of what is it called? A lot of feedback from my friends and a bunch of other people. I like it. I just want to get better at video editing. That's all it is. I'm not trying to become like a YouTube star.
Nick, how many missiles does it take to take these things out generally?
So that's a very good question. So each faction has different missile launchers, right? Some of them have the same. For example, most of this video, you'll see me using the RPG-29, which is like a newer version of the RPG. It's all variant. Like it's all varied as far as like what does what damage to what vehicle, because there's vehicles where, for example, the turret of a tank is like one of the most armored places, but for one of the other tanks, the turret of the tank, like where the barrel connects to the turret, is literally like a piece of cloth. And if you just shoot it with one RPG, the tank is destroyed. And so that's one thing that I've been learning as I've been playing more and more of the class is like, oh, for the American tank, I have to shoot it in this area. For the Russian tank, I have to shoot it in this area. And it becomes like, I wouldn't say a grind, but it definitely is rewarding when you blow up a vehicle.
Yeah, for sure.
Especially when it's like a helicopter.
It's a bunch of tickets too for knocking off of there, right?
Yeah. So vehicles, so of course, when you blow up a vehicle, they lose tickets for it. But another main thing is like they lose supplies. So like if you see right now, I'm blowing up like a Lodgy, which is like a logistic vehicle, they can no longer bring ammo and building materials to the front lines.
Yeah.
And same thing with a helicopter. So sure, it takes away 10 or 15 or 20 tickets, but you can't, like they can't resupply and therefore their guys can't fight for much longer. So it's the whole job of the HAT is to disrupt supply lines and stuff like that.
Good shit.
But yeah, I'm working on the same concept of a video. I'm going to choose either a different Batman theme song or something else and just make kind of the same thing.
I thought it was your best video that I've seen.
Yeah, surprisingly enough, I didn't realize that one of my other videos has 2,800 views. But I'm gonna work with Sniper because he made the thumbnail for the video and I love it.
Yeah,
it's amazing. Great. But yeah, I just want some feedback.
Nice,
Chris. Are you gonna poo-poo us?
Yep, poo-poo coming right around the corner. You betcha. Okay, so earlier in the year we did a fantasy draft for video games coming up because we are super cool like that. Everyone here is super cool. And I'd just like to go down to the experts here. Now, Emilio, how long have you been doing the podcast for?
A lot of years. 6 years? 7?
6 years? Okay, lots of experience with stuff coming out. Let's see. Oh, minus 14 points. Okay, cool. Bobby, how long have you been doing it for?
The same amount of time.
Same amount of time? Okay. 0 points. Okay, guys, you're at the bottom of the leaderboard. I don't know what's happening with all this experience. Could you just quickly explain what are the challenges you're dealing with this season and how are you going to overcome this?
Well, it would help if I participated a little more at all. So I can drop games and get new ones. Sniper, is that how it works?
Yeah, you can drop games as long as they haven't released yet.
Yeah.
Once they release, they're kind of locked in.
I'm going to say that. My caveat here, my excuse, I'm going to throw it out here. I didn't know that we could do console games at first. So I just got a bunch of PC games and it really limited how much I was able to do.
Yeah. Harvest Moon One World. That is a good PC game that you have on your list. I agree.
Yeah. Bobby.
Yeah. I don't know. So you can't get rid of a game if somebody else has picked it though.
Counterpicked it. Yeah.
Yeah.
They can counterpick one of your games.
So, yeah, I let the auto select pick a lot of my stuff, and I didn't have a great spot in the draft, so I actually ran out of things on my auto select. How many games are you supposed to pick? 8 total?
Over the whole season, 8 at the very end.
Yeah, 8, and I think I had my auto select set up for 16 picks, and they all got picked before me, so... Yeah, I ended up with some pretty bad ones, and I don't know if there's any repairing that now.
Well, you can pick up a game at any time. Like, we only drafted 5 games, and then the 3 other games are just spots to pick up games during the season. It's not kind of like a lock it and leave it type thing. I think you're meant to, like, as games get announced, like, later in the year, lots of games are going to get announced in, like, Q4 or whatever. So you would add those to your list if it was, like, I don't know, new Halo game or something.
If it takes 2, like if somebody would have done that last minute, I didn't even know. Did we even know that game was coming out? It just came out of nowhere, didn't it?
Yeah, if only someone would have done that. Oh, it was me. And I put it on and it worked out pretty well. 87 on OpenCritic, it seems. I think that's pretty good.
So you just brought up the segment to fucking rub this all in our faces, it sounds like.
Yeah. That's cool, right? If I do. Tag is winning, though. Good friend, Tag Loro. He's at the very tippy top.
Good for him, man. I'm the only one with negative points. So fuck me, I guess.
I didn't know you could get negative points. Not sure how that works.
Yep. Bobby, you want to try some Mexican candies?
Sure.
This is called a Reyernindos. I think it means like restuffed. I don't know. Do you want to try the mango or the chamoy?
It's always mango, so I'll try the chamoy this time. What is this? I've never heard of that before.
Chamoy? You've had it before. It was part of... it's like a red... I don't know, man. It's like a tart. It's like nothing they sell in America.
Okay. So this looks like a hard shell type.
I have no idea, dude. I haven't even had one. Should we get into listener questions?
No, I have a quick question myself. Do you guys, so Emilio, you know, I know why you do the Bobby to Mexican, segment, because obviously, you know, Bobby's white, you're Mexican, both live in San Diego. There's a lot of Mexican shit.
Yeah.
I'm kind of an honorary Mexican, though. I did get the chancla once from My friend's grandmother.
Yeah, you're honorary when you get a chocolate.
And you're dating a Mexican.
Yeah, that too.
Yeah.
Leslie made the observation because we just got some new Adidas slides. She's like, oh my God, I'm officially a mom. I'm actually like a mom to a Mexican girl because now I have my first chocolate to throw at her.
Yeah, for sure. A big difference. But, go ahead, Nick.
I was about to say, like, do you ever plan on like branching out? Like maybe Bobby tries an Indian or something?
We would need an Indian caster, dude. What? I don't know.
I mean, you could buy Indian food, you know. I know.
Well, we got an idea for some Patreon exclusive content where.
Oh, yeah. No, we should do that where you guys eat shit based off of Patreon. And if it's like commercial food, like if it's like another ghost chip kind of thing, I'll buy it and eat it too. I don't give a shit.
Yeah. No ghost chip.
JP Diddy, I sent him a bunch of Mexican ingredients. Like, seriously, like 40 pounds of Mexican ingredients straight from TJ. Because he's a big cook, you know. Mm-hmm. So last night he made chicken mole, or maybe that was today, and yeah, I think he liked it a lot, and he was really stoked about that. So I'm making everybody try Mexican stuff. Anyway, there's a lot of differences culturally between Americans and Mexicans, and last night I realized one. It seems to me,
betting.
I'm not sure that like Americans generally have a very strict schedule for their babies going to sleep. It's like they go to sleep at 12 and they go to sleep at 7, and that's how it is. And it seems like Mexican parents, it's like whenever they get tired and fall over, that's when they go. I've noticed this. I asked a bunch of white people and I asked a bunch of Mexicans yesterday, and 100% were both on their own fence. I don't know which one's better. Mexicans are,
I think it's a perfect mix. Like me and Leslie, when it comes to the weekends,
yeah.
You know, obviously I'm Mexican, she's white, or I look white, but 75% Mexican. I was like, why don't we just let the baby fall asleep when it falls asleep? And she's like, you know, we have to have some structure because we don't want the baby waking up at 6 a.m. when you got to go to work. And then, you know, I fall asleep at 12 because she finishes work at midnight, you know?
Yeah.
And so I think on the weekends, you know, if the baby stays up until 9:30, hey, you know, that means we can stay up because she's going to wake up later, you know?
Yeah, and you can sleep in because they're going to sleep later that night.
And so, like, I'm more open to that, but, like, during the week, it's super, like, she has to fall asleep at 8:30 or 9 or 8 o'clock, and then, we have a system.
That's funny that you're following exactly what I said because, like, you're doing half and half, and you guys are half and half, and she's half and half.
No, Leslie's just honorary Mexican. She should go to Texas. Oh, my daughter. We worked that out. She's like 36%.
Yeah, there you go.
It's great.
It's great.
But no. I definitely want to eat some crazy shit. So, I want Bobby to try some more stuff because it's always funny seeing his reaction because he's like, it's spicy, but it's good.
It tastes like everything else, but this one's a little bitter.
You know, Mexicans, they only have 4 ingredients. It all tastes the same.
What are you saying, Bobby? Where are you at on this one?
It's pretty good. I don't know if there's like a center to this, but it's like a sucker. But the flavor is good.
Yeah. You're just on the outside level right now? Mm-hmm. Okay, we'll check in on you when you suck a little more.
You know what you should do, Emilio? Which is like something that I saw online because I watch a lot of Good Mythical Morning. They just did an episode where it's called Snacks from Other Countries that are the same thing, right? And they did Mexico and Canada. So, like, for example, Mexican hot Cheetos are sweeter than American ones. They're not as spicy.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah, yeah.
And so, like, since you're so close to TJ and since you're so close to just Mexican markets in general in San Diego, you should buy, like, a bag of Doritos and, like, have Bobby, you know, try them and see the difference, or even just you, too. But
their soda is different down there, too, isn't it?
Yeah, it's much better.
Yeah. It's not made with, it's the main ingredients, the main sweetener is not high fructose corn syrup.
It's actual sugar, cane sugar. So, and then a lot around town in San Diego, you could buy, if it comes in glass, you know that it's a Mexican soda. Mm-hmm. And yeah, they're highly coveted, I would say.
One thing that, because I've been to Mexico a couple of times when I was younger, one thing that like shocked me was like when you buy like Lay's or you buy like Doritos, they come with extra like extra powder packets inside of them. Or like the person selling them to you will give you hot sauce to throw in there and you shake it around. And it's just, it's so awesome.
As far as the snacks around the world or whatever, if you give me the Mexican version and the American version of the exact same, sometimes the packaging is the exact same. I don't know if this is because I'm fucking genetically predisposed to like the Mexican. I think it's so much better every single time. Fucking cheddar ruffles from Mexico are at least 75 times better. They're so good. I'm going to bring you some, Bobby.
Are they just cheesier? What's the difference?
Yeah, I guess so. Maybe it's not American cheese. Maybe it's like, I don't know.
The taco shop by my place, I was down there a while ago, and I saw they had a sign up for a special for the hot Cheeto nacho cheese burrito.
Jesus, dude.
Yeah, that sounds...
colon blow.
Bro, I used to have... Well, he's still my friend, but I had a buddy that lived in like a certain part of like Stockton. And he lived next to an experimental Taco Bell. And he would try some of the craziest shit that was never released, like, worldwide. And, like, it would be, like, Doritos crushed up in a burrito that's grilled, that's, like, slathered in hot sauce. Like, the Mexican pizza made out of Doritos. And it's just, it was crazy.
That's great. They must be out there somewhere, right? There's, like, the pilot program
there, ones. So every restaurant chain has, besides, like, In-N-Out and stuff like that, have, like, these tester facilities.
Yeah.
Because, so they have, like, the facilities where they own themselves, right? Where it's, like, you're in a controlled environment. You're trying foods, and you sign up to do it. Like, you get paid, like, $10 an hour to do it. But there's also, like, Taco Bell's that are out in the wild in cities that have specific shit that is tested out in the public. Like it's like a perfectly well-rounded area to gather information from.
Yeah. I got
you. As far as like public opinion goes. You know?
Yeah. Like a diverse demographic around that area. The way you exactly say out in the wild, like they have legs and they're running around. You got to wrestle one of these to the ground and eat the,
he tried Taco Bell breakfast 6 months before it came out, like everywhere else.
Recycled says in all caps, experimental Dr. Bell, I'm there, dude.
Yeah, they're pretty awesome.
Can you look at the, is this true? The waffle is the taco shell?
Yes, that is a real thing.
My God.
It's good, dude. As radioactive, it seems it's going to, like, and you're going to have to take some Radex from, like, Fallout. It's tasty.
Yeah. I specifically remember the last time I was at a Taco Bell. It's been 14 years, probably. Jeez. Yeah, I totally remember, dude. That place is just dog food, dude.
Yeah, I try to stay away from Taco Bell.
It's not great.
What's funny is, like, my dad, you know, straight from Mexico and everything like that, to this day, we'll be like, you want some Taco Bell? I'm like, Dad, what the fuck? Like, there's like 18 Mexican places around the house. How are you going to want Taco Bell? He's like, sometimes you just want, you know, shit to, you know, what tastes good. And I'm just like, all right. But he'll fuck up some bean burritos.
We're on this Mexican kick, so I will say this. A lot of times people will ask, hey, Emilio, what's a good Mexican restaurant that we could go to? And here's the thing, man, and I will ride this till the day I die, and I think it's true. Like, Mexican food is kind of like poor people's food. It's, you know, it comes from a not that illustrious country. So... it's a lot of street food. It's, you know, staple ingredients. It's delicious. It might be some of the best food, if not the best food out there, but it's not like extravagant sit down. You're not going to. So I always think that the best Mexican food is taco shops. I think, you know, you find there's good ones and bad ones, obviously, but if you just want really good Mexican food, it's hard to go wrong with a taco shop. There are some sit-down places that are acceptable, but most of the time I get let down when I sit down for Mexican.
We have a very famous one here that they always talk about. What is it?
Ayabertos?
No. Lucha Libres?
Oh, Lucha Libre, yeah.
Yeah, that's the one that everyone always talks about here. It's always super crowded.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's all right, but... For me, my theory is you go to the same one, you just always tip the guy, and eventually they start hooking you up more and more.
Out here, we have, you know, in Georgia, there's not that many Mexican people, right? But we have, like, a couple Mexican places, and the same goes for Chinese food. Like, the majority of them are god-awful, and there's, like, one or two amazing ones. And the one we have out here is called El Rey, and they have, like... me and Leslie refuse to go eat at any other Mexican place. And whenever we do go, it's like a treat. We're just like, oh, dude, real Mexican food. And like the servers there know us, and like the servers, like, they always sit us in the same areas, and it is a sit down area, but they do have another restaurant that is kind of like a taco shop.
Yeah.
And it's like, their menu is hella funny, because like they'll have like traditional stuff in the beginning. It's like mole, like chile rellenos, and like all that other kind of stuff. And then in the back of the menu it says gringo specials, and it's like chimichanga, like gordita. It's like a bunch of other stuff that's like Americanized foods.
That's cool.
Yeah. All right, we better get to some listener questions here.
Oh, what was in the middle, Bobby?
Yeah, it was kind of gummy in the middle.
Did you like it?
Yeah, it was good. It was actually really spicy at the end.
Yeah, that's chamoy.
Yeah. Pretty good.
Do you want the other one?
The other one's mango?
Yeah. Yeah, he
does. Yeah, I'll try the other one. Honestly, this one tasted like mango, but I don't know.
Default.
All the Mexican candy kind of tastes the same to me.
Nick, you want to read the listener questions? I have a bad contact right now. It's bugging me.
Yeah, I got it. Listener question. First one is Warconius. You've been given $100 million for a video game themed hotel. What's your pitch? Which game would you use?
I think maybe Bioshock. I think that.
That's a good one.
I think that like Art Deco fucking mixed in with a little bit of steampunkiness is fucking sweet. Mm-hmm. Action.
The underwater tubes. Yeah, that'd be cool.
Yeah, fuck yeah. Dude, if your food came in like pneumatic tubes, that'd be sick. Okay, guys, I need $100 million. Started sending me investments.
I'm surprised
they're underwater.
Yeah, there's no underwater hotel already. Why hasn't that been done yet?
There is.
Yeah, there is. Yeah.
Oh, there is?
Yeah, and there's some in the Arab countries, I think. You know, where cool. All the money is, Dubai.
Oh, that makes sense, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that'd be cool.
I'm going to go with, like, horror game. Like, maybe, like,
oh, Jesus,
Dead Space or something. And like if you get like the, like, you know, the room service people are dressed up as like, you know, bad guys, and if you get caught by them, like you get I don't know, like thrown out or something, or like it's fun. It's not supposed to be, you know, people die, but maybe Silent Hill.
But close. Close to dying is okay.
You know, you want to scare the shit out of people. Silent like Hill. There's so many themed hotels in Japan that have like crazy ass themes where you're like, how the fuck is that successful? And like people are like, I like running for my life. So
what's that Mario game where Luigi is at a haunted hotel?
Luigi's Mansion?
Yeah. I don't know, it's kinda hard to top Bioshock.
Yeah.
Yeah, Bioshock's probably the best pitch I've heard in a very long time. That's amazing.
I need $1 billion to make the Bioshock, what do you call it? What's the one with the floating city? Like, it's not even
Columbia.
Possible. Yeah, you just wouldn't be able to do it.
Just propel the city.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Next one.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Same thing. I mean, another question from Marconius. Have you ever watched or read something that put you in the mood to play a game that you would never normally play? I've been watching F1 Drive to Survive, and that got me into Codemaster F1 games. It's very satisfying beating Lewis Hamilton.
I will say that F1 Drive to Survive, check it out, man. I'm halfway through season 3, almost done with season 3, actually. It's just a great fucking show. I don't care if you're into F1. It will get you into F1. After watching the first season, I was like, I'm going to get tickets for the Mexico one. I'm going to go check out, and it was like, fucking $900 for a seat. Like, it's definitely a posh thing.
Wow.
But anyway, good shit. Very good. And this season they're dealing with COVID, which is really interesting.
I just got for my mom's 60th birthday, I just got her tickets that back in the normal times, pre-Rona, the tickets were $2,500 each.
Jeez.
And it's tickets to see Andrea Bocelli.
Oh, yeah.
And I got both my dad's and my mom's tickets and, like, extremely good seats for $870.
Nice.
And I was just like, and when it comes to, like, the adaptation to the Corona stuff, I'm just so excited when it comes to that kind of stuff. But as far as to answer the question, the last World Cup made me buy FIFA. And I never play FIFA, but... I get so juiced when it comes to World Cup season. Like, I root for the Germany, and I work for, and I mean, I root for Mexico, and then I root for Germany because Mexico never gets out of the group stages.
I know this isn't the heart of the question, but it's as close as I can get. I've been dying to play the UFC games because I'm a huge fan of the UFC, but fucking they don't come to PC. Are they on the PlayStation? I think so.
Yeah, they're on PlayStation.
Yeah, so maybe I'll get it for PS4. I don't know.
UFC 3 is apparently a really good one. It's less buggy than UFC 2.
Yeah.
But, yeah. I don't know. EA games are kind of rocky because there are some pay-to-win aspects to some of their games.
Even though they're $60 out the bat, right?
Well, FIFA has had a lot of issues with that. Wasn't that the game where developers were straight up just like accepting bribes for really high-end loot?
Yeah, so I don't know if you guys know how the FIFA loot system works, but I'll just do a quick explanation. In the game, you have a soccer team, right? And whether or not you play like a default soccer team, like you play the Mexican national team, and you have like Ochoa as your goalie and everything, by default, all your characters are bronze level, right? And so let's say you play the Argentinian national team and you're playing Lionel Messi, right? In the game, there's like a card system where you open loot and you get like a silver version or a gold version or like a platinum version of the same character, right? And all it is just like a stat boost to that character. And like what they claim to be is like, oh, the card statistics and the card like modifications and level are based on their real world experience in certain parts of their certain times of their career. Like that's their explanation for it. So you could be playing somebody like the Amir matchup and you're like your Messi is half as fast as the other team's Messi. And it's completely pay to win. And like there was a thing on Reddit the other day about it where it's like to unlock the quote unquote dream team, which has like four Brazilian players, a couple Argentinian players, and like a bunch of other things, would take you over 500 hours of gameplay time just to unlock.
I think it was more than
meanwhile that. You could just buy it, and like buying it would cost you like $980.
Yeah, I think it was more than 500 from what it was in the thousands from what I saw.
Wow.
Yeah. It's like if you think the Magic game was bad, FIFA's way worse. And it unfortunately, like when it comes to quote unquote professional or like ranked play, you have to have them to be competitive.
Yep.
Damn. Yeah. I don't know. The only example I can think of in response to this question was that time I was reading Starship Troopers and then I played that
RTS.
No, not the RTS. What was the game?
There is an RTS, right?
I think there was one in development, and I had it on my wish list forever. They stopped development on it.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah. But no, the one that was obviously parodying it was the first game that Sony had released on Steam.
Yeah. Shit. The ones where you call down things.
The stratagems. You call down the stratagems.
Yeah.
I can never remember. I always forget the name of this game, but you guys know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. You would call something down. It's a Sony exclusive. No. Yeah. It was a Sony game, but it came out on PC. It might have been the first game that did that. You'd do something like left, right, down, up, and that would call down like a missile barrage. Mm-hmm. But you could kill each other very easily.
It's like an isometric game.
It's a good game. Really challenging. Really challenging.
Great little co-op game.
Yeah.
Can't remember the name of it.
Yeah, so
it's like all caps something.
All caps something.
Helldivers, there
Helldivers.
It is. That's the game.
You pulled it out.
Yeah.
Yeah, there we go. Nice, right. Nice work there, Sniper.
Got another question here from Dr. Anus.
How'd you like the second one? Did it taste exactly like the first one?
Eventually, yeah. At first, I was like, okay, this is a little tangier. But then, yeah, now it's exactly the same. All right, Dr. Anus. Go ahead, Nick.
Dr. Anus, what is the most unlikely PC gamer you've ever encountered? I usually get a seriously response when I let people know I let people know I'm a PC gamer. I guess because I'm an older guy, I get the response. Just seems like there isn't a boundary anymore, which is a good thing. I've turned so many people onto it from my 5-year-old grandson to a 70-year-old ex coworker.
I'm sure that's a big boon for that 70-year-old worker's life, dude. I could imagine.
Like, I've tried to get my dad into video games so many times, and it's impossible.
Same thing with my dad, dude. It's just like, my dad was such a smart dude, and he just could not. It's just like, it doesn't work.
It's proven that older people playing video games, like, it enhances their attention span and enhances a bunch of other things for, like, for their brain.
Yeah. So I guess this kind of qualifies. I was shocked when, like, The Sims was taking over, how many housewives were playing The Sims. There was a brief time when, like, The Sims was the number one played PC game. And so I was talking to a lot of my friends, and they're like, I can't play right now. My fucking wife is on the goddamn PC. And that was always shocking to me. Like, out of nowhere, like, housewives taking over.
I have one. There was a deacon that I, when I was volunteering for some church stuff, we were helping, like, set up for Christmas, and he has, like, the biggest light show in Northern California for a private residence. And, we're helping him bring lights out from the garage and stuff. And I'm like, huh, cool. Age of Empires, right? I just saw the box, and he's like, oh, you play computer games? I'm like, yeah. He's like, yeah, I've been playing Age of Empires for a long time. I'm like, how long? He's like, I have over 1,000 hours in it. And he's like a 70-year-old religious guy, and he plays a bunch of different PC games. And I was just absolutely baffled.
That's a good
answer. I was like 15 at the time, so.
That's a good answer. Hey, he ain't banging any chicks, so he's got a lot of extra time.
Oh, no, as a deacon, you can marry and bang.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, priests can't, deacons can. Oh, that's what my brother, when they were like, my brother was always being pressured because he had a little brother. He was like, they were like, oh, you should be religious because you're like an altar boy. He's like, maybe I'll be a deacon. He's like, I can have a wife and have sex. Yeah. My parents would be like, shut up.
That sounds way better, man. So there's some chicks out there getting Deacon Dickens?
Deacon Dickens. You got it. Wow.
Well, it's not a, he wasn't a PC gamer, but I was very surprised when I had that conversation with my coworker. And he was asking me about the PlayStation and playing Call of Duty. I mean, he's an older guy, and I guess age does play a factor into it. When older people start talking about gaming, it is a little, you don't see it coming. But I kind of feel like we're also reaching a point now where pretty much everybody has been a gamer at some point in their life. Like, it's really not uncommon. If I run into somebody my age or even older than me, like, there is a very high chance that they have, you know, wasted a few too many hours on WoW, or they've at least played Super Mario Bros. Or Nintendo or Super Nintendo or something. Like, it's very rare to meet someone who does not connect to gaming in any way.
Everybody was a gamer. It's all about, like, when they dropped off of it. That's what changes, and whether or not they pick it back up later in life. That's really, everybody had a goddamn Nintendo or a Sega.
Everyone. Yeah, we all grew up with that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, this just popped into my head. Let me just throw it out there.
You want to read it or you want me to read it?
Oh, go ahead. I was going to talk about completely off the wall. Go for it.
When starting a new RPG, do you feel and look powerful from the level one, or would you rather start in panties with a stick? Funny enough that that's a question. So, Dark Souls, right? So in Dark Souls, you can choose to spawn as, you know, a barbarian or a knight or a pyromancer or, you know, a cleric. And, you know, they give you the default things for those classes. But there's a class called Depraved, and you literally just spawn with a club and underwear.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of people that choose Depraved just because for the added challenge and the customability of it.
They do get some sort of bonus, right?
Yes, sometimes they do.
I thought there was some kind of advantage. What do you think, Bobby? I'm just saying, okay, the reason I brought this up is because when I was playing Magic the Gathering, my guy looked pretty awesome right out the bat. Like, I had cool armor and shit. I was like, oh, this, you know, I'm level one, but I already look like a lord. Like, kind of weird. I always go back to, like, EverQuest, where you just, you know, you got, like, shitty-ass pants, no shoes, a tattered shirt, and you have a stick, and you fucking kill rats until you can sell enough pelts to get the next color shirt or whatever. You know, I really enjoy that. At some point in video game dumb, they were like, we want people to feel powerful right off the bat, so you're gonna be killing fucking, like, big ass dragons at level one. What do you think?
You know what's funny is that there's a bunch of games like that in the early 2000s and mid 2000s, in like the late 2000s, that were like, they had the trope of like, oh, you know, you're killing all these demons and you got this really cool armor and you're like shooting fireballs from your fingertips and stuff. And then you get defeated and you start off from like square one, or like you have a taste of the end game.
Yeah.
Like that was always a trope.
Yeah, for sure. Or anytime you play a sequel, like a lot of times you're like playing Devil May Cry 4. You're like, oh, suddenly, I know you just destroyed the fucking god, but now you lost all your power somehow and you have to start all the way.
Yeah, that's in Doom, on the expansion, that does not happen. Like, as someone who was really rusty playing Doom, and I was like, I was playing the first DLC, and I was like, oh shit, I have everything, and even some stuff that I didn't unlock it. And I was like, oh fuck, like this is hard. I was facing like some of the strongest enemies immediately. Yeah. So,
Would you have an answer, Bobby?
Well, regarding the visual aspect of it. So WoW had this problem where you would start out, you would look real raggedy, you'd eventually get some good gear, and as you leveled up, the gear that you got would look better and better. Yeah. Until you got to the end game, that you could even get enchantments, things started to glow. You really started to look, the armor was physically bigger on your character.
The shoulders were bigger.
You got a cape, you got a helmet, like you're adding, and you, the visual representation of your character reflected the progress that you had made, and it looked really good. Now the problem with that is WoW has been around since 2004. A new expansion comes out, like, how do you keep getting bigger and bigger? You can't.
Yeah.
So I liked what they did when they introduced the cosmetic thing where you could
transmogrification.
Transmogrification. So you could say, go into an older dungeon, kill a boss, they would drop an item, and then you could add that to your inventory, and then you could sell that, but you always had that visual appearance locked away. So you could go to a transmogrifier and you could equip whatever belt you wanted, but it would visually look like the belt that you got from that dungeon, because some of these dungeons had really cool, like really awesome looking pieces of armor, but the stats weren't that great. So of course you're not going to equip it. You just want the looks of it, right?
Yeah.
Funny story about that is like, there's a whole marketplace for that. Like there's like rare drops where like, oh, this armor looks like chainmail, but it's from like Burning Crusade, mm-hmm. and it only is dropped by this one hyena in like this valley.
Yeah.
And like people will grind and like, exactly. People are like, why is this level like 13 fucking pants, 10 million gold? And it's because it's like, it matches a set perfectly, or people are really picky on how their transmogs work. And like certain guilds are like fashion shows. Like they will legitimately spend hundreds of thousands of gold just to get certain pieces of armor to make these custom looking sets that look amazing.
Yeah.
What have you guys ever done any crazy farming?
Yes.
What'd you do, Nick?
So this is when I actually played WoW, when you played WoW. So as a dumb kid, I would always think that if a character had a weapon, there was a slight chance of the character dropping the weapon in WoW. And there was this axe I really wanted from like this certain mob in the jungle. And I was like, oh, that looks badass. I want that one real bad, right? And I literally spent, I think it was like 9 hours trying to do it. I actually killed it so many times that I dropped a world epic, like, which is like a 0.001% chance of like dropping on any mob in the world. And I was like, and then eventually I talked to one of my friends. He's like, are you an idiot? Like, what are you talking? Like, it's not possible. And then find out that he did the same thing, but he thought it was for mounts. Like you could kill any mounted character in the game and you could get their mount, or you could kill any like animal and eventually you can get them as a mount. And I just, it was the dumbest shit as like a 9-year-old, 10-year-old that I was just like,
God, you bugged the shit out of me, dude. Oh my God. You'd bug me so much. Like, no, dude. No, I'm busy because my rating is so much more important than fucking helping you grind, you know, in my head at the time. Because fuck, we were like balls deep.
Dude, it's so crazy. Like the things I used to bug you about, now there's like a business for it. Yeah. Like there's no point in questing in classic Warhammer. Now what happens is you can hire a mage for like hourly, and they just run you through like dungeons, and like the leveling up time is cut in half just because of like mage leveling.
Yeah.
And it's it costs a lot of money, but it gets done, you know, very quickly.
Or you could just buy a level, a max cap level, right? Can't you do that now?
Yeah, that's a thing. People are still doing that. Unfortunately, it's died down. Like, I remember when the game first came out, if you had a max level druid, people were paying like $600, $500 for it because of the fact that it would take so long.
No, I mean, can't you buy it straight from Blizzard? Can't you buy a full?
Not for Classic. You can't buy. Oh. You can't buy characters for Classic. You have to. You have to level them up manually.
Yeah,
it's the same thing for Burning Crusade. So Burning Crusade is coming up, and everybody that wants to play Paladin, they have to level up from level one because Paladin's not out yet for the Horde, and so people are just like saving up their gold to pay people to power level them. So.
I remember I think I was making a twink, and the whole thing that I wanted to do was play a stun rogue, so two hammers, and then there's one hammer in the game somewhere that procs a stun on its own. So I farmed the shit out of like Black Rock Depths with my main tune, not just because I liked going to, not just because I was farming it. It was just fun going through to these old ass dungeons and being completely by yourself for stuff that was made for 40 man raids. I always had a lot of fun out there down there by myself.
What's funny is like about that is the twink like market is still very much alive. Like there are people that will sell huge amounts of like weapons for huge amounts of gold in current like meta, like twinking. And, I made someone feel old when I told him about that story that you're talking about. Like, I was like, dude, I used to play WoW when Bash was a thing where like you could stun people with a hammer, and they were like, what?
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah. Like when the game had passive abilities for certain weapons.
Yeah.
And so, yeah.
Bobby, you ever farm anything?
Oh, probably. I'm sure I did with WoW.
Yeah. At some point. You hear about something or whatever. The rare spawn animals were really fun, especially as a hunter.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. All right. What are you guys playing next week?
Well, Ray very kindly gifted me Jurassic World Evolution.
He forgot that he was paying for Humble Bundle for months. And he's like, oh, shit, look at all these games. He said he might have a few more sending our way soon.
Yeah, so I am definitely playing that. I have wanted to play that game for a very long time, and I will be looking into that. I also installed Rainbow Six Siege, so I don't know if I'll play it. We'll see.
Oh, God.
So are you going to be staying up late, Bobby?
Maybe. It's still going to be a pretty busy week for me, but I don't know. I can't stay up late, man. I fall asleep when it starts getting late.
It's tough because my game time starts around 9:30, and I don't know who I'm going to play. What's that game? The co-op game?
It takes two?
Yeah, I don't know who I'm going to play it with, but I'm going to buy that and hopefully play it with somebody.
Nice.
I don't know. I might play with you when I go over there.
Yeah.
I'm playing drunk.
Good. Yeah.
But I'm playing It Takes Two with Leslie this week, and then I'm trying to finish some Isaac stuff, but I'll be all over the place. I'm making another video, like I said earlier, so I'm gonna be playing squad.
Dude, inevitably. Don't do any Isaac stuff. Just wait for the fucking expansion. You're gonna regret putting all that time in once the expansion comes out.
True.
Yeah. All right. Speaking for Chris, Nick, Bobby, and myself, Isaac's titties. Bye. Oh, fucking titties. I used to yell it every time. Oh, fucking titties. Now it's like, what's the last word that we said? Plus titties. Maybe we should let it go. What do you think, Bobby? Should we let it go?
Maybe it's time. It isn't very 2021, that's for sure.